State from school officials says the Milton Area Middle School has been cleared for occupancy, passing air quality tests. The district says only one room remains affected with mold. That room will remain closed until it passes occupancy tests. School officials say middle school students and parents will be able to attend special open houses Monday. They will take place from 8 to 9:30 a.m. and 3:30 to 5 p.m. Cleaning representatives will be available as well as to answer questions. The district says it doesn't anticipate extending the school year after the delayed start. The district is working with the Pennsylvania Department of Education related to the delayed start at the middle school. Parents will be immediately notified of any changes to the calendar year. Safety measures announced by the State Department of Corrections are designed to prevent illegal drugs from making their way into state prisons. Corrections Secretary John Wetzel says these moves seek to totally eliminate illegal drugs from being smuggled into state prisons, and if the measures don't work, additional steps will be taken. He says drugs have been coming in through one of seven possible paths.
And those paths are through the regular mail, through legal mail, drones, through the visit room, through books and publications, and at commitment. So we have a solution for each of those paths.
The state West Nile program says more samples from mosquitoes and other animals are turning up positive for the West Nile virus. In a recent update from the state DEP, they say a human case of West Nile virus was reported in Montour County. Additionally, in York County, a blood donor tested positive for West Nile, and veterinary positives have already appeared in Snyder and Union counties. In those cases, horses tested positive for West Nile. The state says the flooding in July has exacerbated the problem. We've reposted the West Nile prevention advice at WKOK.com. A strong thunderstorm this afternoon into early tonight can bring flash flooding and damaging winds. Then later tonight, turning out mostly cloudy, low of 67. I'm Matt Catrillo, WKOK News.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. Rich Scarcell in a moment. But first, our play-by-play call today. Trevor Story, big night in Denver.
The pitch is hit again to left field. It's got a chance. It's gone. Seriously. Three home runs and three at-bats for Trevor Story. That time a line shot just cleared the fence and left and gives the Rockies a lead. It's 4-3.
And one of those home runs was a 505-foot shot last night. I mean, Trevor Story had a big night for the Rockies shortstop last night. And guess what? They stay in first place in the National League West. Very pleased to bring in good friend Rich Scarcella from the Reading Eagle. Rich, I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well, Steve. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. Okay. What's interesting is I've tried to gather perspective from various parts of the state. And I know what my perspective is from speaking around the state. What's the level of interest in playing Pitt every year in the Reading area?
I think you've asked me this before, but it's been a while, and I'll be glad to answer it. And it's not as intense as it is west of Harrisburg or even in State College, I don't believe. I know a lot of Pitt alums. My children went to school, high school, with several Pitt alums. And frankly, I just don't think it's as intense as Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, those games are. And I wouldn't have said that 20 years ago, but I think now, even Iowa, I think Iowa is, I mean, I think a lot of people consider Iowa one of the Penn State's big rivals. And I just don't see it as intense as the folks west of Harrisburg do.
In fact, I'd go even further. I'd say west of Altoona. When I went to Harrisburg and York, not one person brought it up this year.
Yeah.
None. They wanted to know more about Ohio State.
Yeah. And I get it for people, Penn State alums who live in western Pennsylvania, that it is important to them. And, you know, I was in school at Penn State during the heyday of the rivalry, and it was great then. But when you play seven times in, 26 years, you know, it kind of loses its intensity. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a lot of emotion going to be on the field Saturday, because I think there will be. I don't think it's a secret that the two head coaches don't exactly spend a lot of time together other than the 3.5 hours that they face each other. So, I mean, I do think there's a lot of emotion involved, but, you know, I just don't see it as a lot of people, like I said, like you said, west of Harrisburg see it.
All right, so now let's get to the actual two teams playing in the game itself. Let's start, obviously, you and I witnessed Penn State and what they did on Saturday. Appalachian State, to its credit, played really well. What were some of the positives you saw, Rich, and then we'll transition to some of the things that they need to do to be better?
Well, to me, the first and foremost, the positive was the performance of the offense after halftime. When the offense scored 35 points after halftime, gained, I think, almost 300 yards, maybe more. I don't have the exact total in front of me. I thought the offensive line came on as the game wore on, and I thought did a fairly decent job against a 3-4 defense. As James Franklin pointed out, they don't see that frequently. So that's the big one. Obviously, the emergence and the debut of KJ Hamler. I mean, if you can't be excited, if you're a Penn State fan and you can't be excited about the next 3.5 years watching this guy, then I don't know what you can get excited about, because he is just an electrifying player. And, you know, I wrote about him for today, and I was almost said he's as dynamic, or could be as dynamic as Saquon Barkley when it's all said and done. Two different type of players. I'm not saying he's going number two in the draft or anything like that. But this guy is fun to watch, and obviously delivered when Penn State needed it the most. So I think those two things, Steve, for sure, that really stuck out to me.
Yeah, because they scored on 5 of their 7 drives.
Yes.
After the break. And Hamler gives me the feeling, and now this is one game, so, you know, I'm going to compare him now to a body of work, but in some ways he gives you an O.J. McDuffie feeling.
I would even go further than that. I think he's got more shimmy than O.J. did. I think O.J. is one of the best receivers Penn State's ever had. He was a little bigger than K.J., but K.J. seems to me he's got a lot of shimmy, a lot of shakes, and a lot of confidence, and that's important.
Yeah, he has a ton of confidence, which now brings me to, okay, what are some areas that you looked at and said, okay, I'm not quite sure about that area. I need to see more for them to be better.
Well, there's a list. Let's start on offense. I would like to see Juwan Johnson catch the ball better, more consistently. He made a terrific catch in traffic on the sideline when he in front of the App State bench, but he had a couple drops. I consider them drops, and I like to see him catch the ball better. I don't know what happened to DeAndre Tompkins in the offense. He had no catches. I'm not even sure if he was targeted. So let's just go there. I didn't mention positive. Miles Sanders. I think Miles Sanders had a really nice game. But back to the negatives.
Terrific.
Defensively, when you give up 28 points, 270 yards, and 11 first downs in one quarter, and especially the fourth quarter, you have issues. I think we all expected the defense to have issues based on the fact it has only 2 returning starters. So that it wasn't a complete shock, but the way App State, how easily App State moved the ball up the field in the fourth quarter really stunned me, especially with the game on the line. I thought the tackling was very poor across the board. I thought some of the pass coverage by some of the veteran guys in the secondary wasn't good. However, when the game was on the line, Amani Oruwariye makes a spectacular interception in the end zone to seal it. So I think, and special teams too, Steve, I think that's an area of concern. Was it just because there were so many young guys on the field? But to give up a kickoff return for a touchdown and fail to recover an onside kick, they've got to do better than that.
And believe me, that exact onside kick was practiced over and over again. So believe me, this was not a question of they weren't prepared for it. They saw that exact kick probably every day for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think, so, I mean, you have a lot of young guys on special teams, a lot of talented young guys. So my guess is they're going to get better, especially based on the last 2 years where I thought the special teams, especially kick coverage, was exceptional. So, you know, we'll see as we move forward. I think they're going to have to be good Saturday night because I think Pitt special teams do a nice job.
Yeah, they do a nice job. I agree with you. And I don't care if it's Albany, French returning that kickoff 91 yards. You know, with Kadri Henderson, they had the same kind of return style, and he had big kick returns. Now this guy does as well.
Yeah.
Do you factor in at all? And I factor in a little bit. That's why I want to see more.
Okay.
Sometimes young teams, in my experience, and I'll now draw on yours too, Rich, that when Penn State got up by two scores, you know, they're kind of, all right, here we go. We're okay. We're home free. And
yes,
sometimes young teams do that. Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
No, no, I said I don't think there's any – I completely agree with you. They relaxed, especially when it got to 24-10. And I think you're right. I think it's natural, you know, especially for a very young team on defense. I thought they did a pretty good job for three quarters. But, yeah, I agree. I would agree with you, Steve.
All right, so now we get to Pitt. Now, you don't learn much from the Albany game, but when you watched Kenny Pickett, the quarterback, against Miami last year, what kind of read are you getting out of this guy that may make life a little bit different back there?
What I saw, I watched the Miami game. I think that was the same – was that the same day as Penn State's game against Maryland?
Yes, it was. Yeah,
I think during the day. I'm very impressed with him. I think he's got the it factor. I think he's got a lot of the same intangibles that Trace McSorley has. And I think it's going to be imperative for the Penn State defense not only to get to him, but to bring him down. That would be important. I like what I see. Now, this is only going to be his third start, which is hard to believe based on what I watched him last fall against Miami in his first start. So I like him a lot. I'm impressed with him. And just a side note, he is the son of two former PSAC athletes. His father was an All-America linebacker at Shippensburg, and his mother played soccer here in Berks County at Kutztown University.
How about that? And then the PSAC coach on the other side against him.
Exactly.
A lot of PSAC out there. But, you know, what do you think of Pitt's team overall? Because they had one of those up-and-down years last year. Yeah. They have a lot of returning guys on defense. Sometimes that's good news. Sometimes that's not great news. So what do you think?
Well, like Michigan State's defense, you know, and James mentioned this, of course, Pitt's defense will play press coverage. They will be up on the outside receivers' faces, and they're going to blitz from a lot of different places. And if Penn State can handle the blitz, I think Trace McSorley is capable, obviously he's capable, can hurt Pitt's defense with some deep passes. I think that's kind of the yin-yang of playing, you know, that defense is that, you know, yeah, it's a high-risk, high-reward. And I think what I saw from Pitt, I liked what I saw. Again, I can only go what I saw against the Miami last year.
Right.
They're another year older. I think it's going to be a tough game for Penn State. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, offensively they're not as experienced, and we really don't know much about their offense because they didn't score in the second half against Albany, which I'm guessing is because they went vanilla and didn't really do much except base stuff. So I think it's going to be a very interesting and very tight game, and I think it'll be decided by one score.
All right, Kevin Givens, what can his return mean in a couple different packages Penn State has?
Well, as you mentioned, packages. I think in the base package, he could stop the run. He could get to the quarterback. And when then they go to four ends, like they did occasionally last week, I think he's got enough speed and enough strength to cause a lot of havoc. So I'm really interested to seeing how much impact he has on the Penn State defensive line. Maybe that frees up Sharif Miller to do even more. That'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, because I think the guy, when I look at Daniel Joseph, they tried to flip him inside last week. And I think Daniel Joseph, when he's on the edge and plays his game, I think he can be a good player.
Yeah.
But boy, you're outmanned inside, the size he is compared to a center guard combination.
Yeah. I think maybe we'll, you probably know this better than I, but my guess is you're going to see a little bit more of P.J. Mustafa at D-tackle this week, just because he's got that size and strength to play inside. And, he may not have the experience, but, he can make up for it with that part of it, the size and the strength.
Look, at some point or another, I think everybody, now, I can't do this. For obvious reasons, I'm trying to follow the ball, but I think a lot of people at one point or another, maybe for a couple plays here and there, look at Micah Parsons when he's in there. A, did you? And if you did, what did you think?
I did. And I can't say I watched him every down, but he's got crazy athletic ability, freakish athletic ability. I think he's still learning, which... he's played one college game, and if he could play within the system, within the defensive scheme, and learn which gaps he can shoot and which ones he can't, I think he's potentially going to have a big impact on this team this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he might have a big impact on the game coming up on Friday night because, you can see him. You can see him maybe even playing a little bit more as time goes along.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I don't know if he'll displace Koa Farmer and become a starter, but I think you're going to see Micah Parsons on the field more and more as each week goes by.
Were there any general impressions you got out of the college football weekend? It was spread out over 5 days. Any general impressions that struck you?
Well, the last game of the weekend shocked me that Virginia Tech was able to beat Florida State as decisively as it did in Tallahassee. That's the one that I just went, wow. Other games... I watched the Northwestern-Purdue game. It was entertaining, but it kind of went about the way I thought. Obviously, I'm in the press box and the other Penn State beat writers. I can't say I saw any of the Michigan-Notre Dame game, so I don't know. I'm not surprised Notre Dame won at home, won a fairly close game. But that's the one, the Virginia Tech-Florida State game really, really surprised me. Not that Virginia Tech won, but it won.
Right.
That decisively and held Florida State to 3 points.
Yeah, see, that's the one that surprised me too. And again, not that Virginia Tech won; it's how they won. In other words, Florida. I never felt like Florida State was in the game.
No, never. I was quite surprised at that.
Well, when you go to the Penn State Pitt game, I think they've designated 12 minutes for tailgating. From 6:06 to 6:18, I want you to enjoy those 12 minutes that they've given you, Rich, and because you won't be able to park till 5.
Well, I am very, concerned. I wouldn't say worried. I'm trying to figure out how long it's going to take me to make it to the North Shore from my hotel in Monroeville, and I'm wondering if I shouldn't leave tonight.
It's funny, when I put it on Google Maps, it said it would take 14 hours and 22 minutes from that location.
Jeez, I'm trying to gather as much information as I can and trying to figure out, okay, what's the best way to get to get there from Monroeville, and I know I'm not going to go down 376 because I did that 2 years ago, left around 7:30, 8 o'clock for the noon kick. It took me almost 2 hours to get there. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I have to figure that out, but that's a minor issue compared to the thousands of fans who can't pull into the lot until 5.
Yeah, and considering there'll probably be 10,000 people at the Pirates game, it really is not going to be worth it.
No, it's, I mean, it's, what a mess. I mean, it's just, but yeah. That's, you know, that's what you get. You're playing in a major city. You know, I know, I think 2 years ago, because I think we went to the Pirates game the night before, and I think the Saturday game was at 7 o'clock. So
it was at night, yeah.
Yeah, the football game was at noon, so there really wasn't a conflict, but yeah, this is going to be a nightmare situation Saturday.
Rich, always a pleasure. You know that. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday. Appreciate the time you always give us, my friend.
My pleasure, Steve. Anytime. Thanks.
The outstanding Rich Scarcella. You want to talk about one of the really good guys out there that really knows his job, knows his profession, knows his sports. That's Rich. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. The King with picks next half hour. The opening week, we have a tight race, don't we, as we continue on. News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. Every new Hyundai comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty and Hyundai Assurance. Sunbury Motors Hyundai will work hard to get you approved on a brand new Hyundai Elantra. Bankrupt, divorced, slow pay should not be an issue at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Why settle for a used vehicle when you can bring your blues credit to Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the black building on North 4th Street in Sunbury. 17 2018 Hyundai Elantras picked out for anyone who has less than perfect credit. If you want to have a fun day and have less than perfect credit, you have to drive a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the Steve Jones Show is being driven by our great friends and the best, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and people all around the world, the King has arrived.
The King is here.
He can speak now if he wishes.
Or forever hold his peace.
Are you there?
Hey, we're here.
Yes, we're here.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going really well. Doing great.
Good.
So, well, how'd the results go from last week?
Okay, well, as Kevin... As Kevin predicted, Auburn Washington was going to be the swing game. Steve is out, is off and running after week one. Steve's 3-2. King and myself were just one game behind at 2-3.
Well, I know I lost Florida State.
Yes,
because it's like a dope. I picked them, and
well,
they look.
Well, but Rich Scarcella brought up a great point. Who saw Virginia Tech? I mean, who saw that coming? I mean, that defensive performance.
What was the other game that was not a win where we all lost?
Let's see. West Virginia, Tennessee. We all picked West Virginia there. We all picked Notre Dame over Michigan. Yeah. All of us picked Miami over LSU.
That was the game.
It's like, guys, I'm listening to that game driving back from Williamsburg. Was that a baseball game on Sunday night? I'm listening to that game. I'm thinking, this game's horrible. It's just horrible.
What do you think? I think some of these teams they're taking too big of a game too early. And I know it's all based on TV, but these kids aren't ready to play yet. Some kids are ready, and some kids aren't. You know.
Well, it's interesting how Rich brought up tackling. Everybody's brought up Penn State's tackling. Hey, and again, this comes to tunnel vision. This is what happens with fans. They get all tunnel visioned on their team and never look at the rest of the country. Tackling across the country stinks until week three. Because everybody's doing the same thing in practice. Nobody's tackling well. So you take on a big game where nobody's tackling well early in the season, it becomes a problem.
And is the heat a problem? Because I know here, I've never been this hot in my life. We've had 31, 90-degree days, and it's got to wear on these players. They're not right. in the condition they should be in because they can't let them out running around in this. So.
Well, there's the other part, too, because I don't know if it's one of our pick'em games or not, but Arizona State, Michigan State, okay, that game's in Tempe. I mean, Michigan State now has to suddenly adapt to 105 degrees.
Yeah. I mean, how do you – your body just can't handle that. I don't care what kind of physical shape you're in. It doesn't matter. You're losing water that you're not used to losing, and your body does not perform the way it should.
Yeah,
cramping up and things like that. And it has nothing to do with conditioning. It's just plain hot. So, hey,
it's just plain hot. And right now, nobody. NFL, you're going to see it tonight. Eagles are going to play the Falcons tonight. NFL, high school football, college. Okay, because of all the concerns about hitting, there's less of it in the preseason for everybody across the board. And for the first 2 weeks into the third game, it's actually the games is where you get the tackling, where you really tackle.
And it's very – you get one team that is just a little bit ahead of the other team in these first games, you know, for whatever reason, who knows. Like Virginia Tech, who knew? Their defense, nobody – they said they replaced half the defense. Well, they could play. But how's anyone supposed to know that, you know, until they go out and play? Hey, I got a comment I want to make. When I – put on the Red Sox, okay, on the radio. I can tell if they're winning or losing just by listening to the announcer's voice. He's about the worst announcer I've ever heard, Joe Castiglione. He gets, well, there's another strike. Well, the ground ball and out. You know the Red Sox are losing. Guy for the Yankees. He's a little more upbeat, John Sterling. I turned on the Penn State game, and I listened to most of you do the game. And Claire, because it wasn't on TV here. And Claire said, who's winning? I said, well, I don't know, but he sounds pretty happy, so they got to be winning pretty good. They were losing 10-7. And that's a compliment that you don't homer it. To a point, I really felt like Penn State was up by 3 touchdowns just by the inflection in your voice. But you were announcing it straight. It was a good football game, and you were announcing a good football game, but your team was not winning. So I just wanted to throw that in, and I mean that, not because you're my brother. I honestly thought Penn State was up by 3 touchdowns the way you were announcing the game, and they were actually losing. Which you could have been like, oh, my God, what's going on here, you know? So, anyway, that's it. I got nothing else.
Thanks. I appreciate that because, I mean, Sean and the suit were both highly critical.
Well, I thought you did a good job.
That's a joke. They didn't say a word to me.
And I'll tell you when you're bad. So.
Yeah.
And you know I'll tell you if you're bad. So.
Yeah. I know.
But. Not that I've ever told you were bad, but I would.
I know you would. No, I know.
Oh, I got nothing to lose. What do I care?
You don't have to lose. No, you don't.
Hey, what's he going to do? You're up in Connecticut.
My brother, regardless.
Yes, sir, you're saying that Sean isn't honest because he has something to lose.
And everything
everyone
began.
Tells you how great you are. I'll tell you when you suck. Boy, Steve, you suck today.
Well, the funny thing is that I've actually talked to my class about the praise criticism thing, and I said, when it comes to the praise thing, just say thanks. Just appreciate the fact that somebody thought you did a good job. I said, after that, let it go.
Yeah, let it go, and if you get criticized, take the criticism with a grain of salt. But, you know, the people will criticize, not the press necessarily, jealous people, but some people will criticize with the thought of, you know, don't do this, you know, to help you, you know. Take it. Sometimes criticism hurts, but take it and learn from it. There's nothing wrong with criticism as long as it's fair. So...
Good. So what games do we have this week?
All right, so we've got two.
Because, I mean, I don't know. And like he said that I'm supposed to know I was in first place. Honestly, I did not know until Sean just
you
told me.
Won. I've had kind of a
busy week because I have baseball every night, and the season finally did end. So I've been playing
a
little bit of catch-up.
You're the closest to a pickle you've ever been.
He was even closer than that 2 weeks ago when he took some dills home. So barrels.
You have. I want my friggin' pickles, man.
You will get them. I swear to you, you will get them. In fact,
I swear to
ten
God,
times over,
if
you'll
I
get
lose,
them.
This is what's going to happen. If I lose and you win and Sean wins, you guys will get your pickles before I get mine.
Well, okay, you got to remember, part of this is like real estate. Location, location, location.
We are I'll
next
find
to the
a way
building.
To get them to you. Trust me, I have my ways, and I will get them. And you guys will get yours, and I'll still be sitting here, you know, pickle-less.
No, so. We promise you. We promise you we're going to get you plenty.
We're in a
and
new season.
And believe me, Corey, who listens to the show all the time, knows he needs
it's
to take care of
it's a new year. We'll be in another century in another year.
Well, what's the halfway point between here and your place? Is it Tannersville out in the Poconos, or is it just across the border?
Well,
I was joking that it was Tannersville.
No, not quite Tannersville. Up in 84, Lake Wallenpaupack.
Oh, okay.
Is halfway.
No, or, I'll be going out this fall, and you can.
Oh, that's
I'm
right.
Gonna
yeah, you're
going to go to Brewers Outlet, and I'm going to get them myself.
Well, tell us when. We'll tell Corey you're going to be there.
Yeah, and if that's the point, you can just come up here to the station and hang with me for the show.
That would be really cool.
Oh, no brainer.
Yeah, just
got
to go to the. If you come in, stop and hang with him there.
Yeah,
he'll have all the pickles there that you want.
Sure.
I mean, and then we'll go from there. And then that will settle it. And then what you know? And then we'll move on to whatever your next complaint is.
I need a job.
I know, and this is the fun one you'd like to have. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right, so let's jump in.
This job's going pretty good. Go ahead.
No, we'll jump into some games. Why not? As we said, two college, three pro. But no, Michigan State, Arizona State, not on the docket. We've got Georgia, South Carolina. That's tomorrow afternoon. That'll be the SEC game on CBS.
Who's up?
You go first.
Who, me?
Who?
It doesn't matter. You guys go first.
I'm going to take Georgia.
Okay. I think a bulldog would be a Gamecock in a fight, so I'm taking Georgia.
While I'm not quite sure that's true, I still will take Georgia to win. I just think they're the better team.
Okay.
All right. Left Coast action tomorrow night. Pac-12 late night, USC and Stanford.
Okay, I think that's this one of the better games of the weekend, so I'll go first on this one. This is one where I think I'm really going to be interested to watch although this game is opposite Penn State Pitt, so I won't see it, will I? No, I'd like to see at some point JT Daniels play the quarterback for USC. I think because it's home, and I think Stanford's a little better in the trenches, I'm going to take Stanford to win.
I'm going to go with USC.
A Cardinal would be a Trojan in a fight. I'll take Stanford.
Okay, just
you can interpret that any way you want. Okay.
Except the Cardinal is the color.
Oh, that's right.
Their mascot's a tree.
Wow, wait a minute. Okay.
USC Stanford. You were correct, Steve. That's an 8:30 East Coast time for a Saturday night. That's going to be a Fox primetime game.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll probably glance at the score once in a while, but
okay. So let's
I'm still going with Stanford.
Okay. All right, so let's dip into some NFL for Sunday. We got San Francisco at the Vikings, the debut of Kirk Cousins in purple.
So Jimmy Garoppolo makes this big debut. I think the Vikings have enough to get to the NFC Championship game again. I think the team they might face is the Atlanta Falcons they're playing tonight. So I'll go with the Vikings.
I'm also taking the Vikings.
I also have the Vikings. I am not a Garoppolo guy. I think a lot of teams laid down at the end of last year, and he looked great.
Well,
I think he's going to get it handed to him this year because now they have film on him.
That's exactly
what
I was going to say.
And Minnesota defense will be all over him.
Yeah, how many weeks into this will he hit the wall?
I think he hits the wall right away. I think there's a lot of film on him now, and now defense will adjust. Now can he adjust to what they do to him? I don't know.
Another question that's being kicked around quarterback-wise, will Dak Prescott hit the wall this year? All right, so we got Dallas at Carolina.
I'll go last on this one.
Okay. I'm going to take the Panthers.
I think the Cowboys are very good. I have a lot of people have the Cowboys losing, and they still got the great running back. You still got the great offensive line, and I think Prescott, this is his third year now. He's going to be – I like the Cowboys in this one. I've never been a big what's his name?
Cam Newton.
I'm not a big Cam Newton fan. So, but he's a great football player, but – I'm taking the Cowboys.
This goes back to last year when we had to pick the Giants and the Cowboys. Mm. And the Giants were horrible. And the Cowboys were obviously a lot better. With every pore in my body.
And you took the Giants.
Yeah, I know I did. And I would do it over. And even if the 1966, the Giants were 1-12-1. And they played the Cowboys twice that year. I would have picked the Giants both times, just out of pure principle.
goody, goody, goody.
Okay. Now, as stubborn as that may seem, and it does lead to two losses, I won't budge. I'm taking Carolina.
Love your morals, man. Keep it up.
And the back end of the Monday night doubleheader on ESPN, you've got the Rams at the Raiders.
I like that game a lot, but I'm taking the Rams. I think the Rams are just a better team, and I think that John Gruden's team, especially with the move of Khalil Mack, I think he's weakened that team in a short period of time.
I will also take Los Angeles.
I got the Rams. I think the Rams are one of the best teams in football. And that defense is mean. But this is going to be a dividing week. I could be way out of this now. Holy cow.
Well, I'll tell you what. We got time to pick one more game. Why don't I throw one more in? Let's throw in Chiefs-Chargers. Let's throw that in, too.
I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Chargers to win that game, despite the fact that Patrick Mahomes can throw a football through a wall.
Sean?
Yeah, the Chargers, end of last year, will they win like 9 out of their last 12? Something like that? Defense is playing well. Yeah. Phil Rivers is Phil Rivers.
Yeah, plus I root for Anthony Lynn, too. That's Stanton Lynn's dad, and so it's not like I don't know the guy.
I'm gonna take the Chargers.
Okay, I'm taking the Chiefs for one reason, the one reason only. They are
because
the
Patrick
one
Mahomes
team
can throw the football through a wall?
Yeah.
No, I don't care if he can throw it through a wall. the Chiefs start off every year like they're going to win the Super Bowl.
That's true.
And that is just a trademark of their coach. Remember last year they beat the living daylights out of the Patriots on opening day. And they've done it to the Patriots before early in the season. And the Patriots have gone on and won a Super Bowl. And then they tail off at the end of the year. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's been an Andy Reid thing for years.
Yeah, he starts off big. And then his teams fall, they peter out by the end of the year. But the start of the year, they look like they're going to win the Super Bowl. So that's my only reason for taking them. I don't, it's too early to know who's good and who's not. So.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's for sure. I agree with that. It's way too early.
Yeah. You just don't know who's going to pan out and who's going to sign a contract and who's not. I'm sorry, Pittsburgh fans.
That's the first time I've ever seen players upset at a guy not showing up. Because normally they're behind him all the way. Hey, you know, it's a business. Hey, he should get his money, blah, 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 blah. That's the same story every time. It's the first time I've had players look around and say, what is going on here? I've never seen that before.
Well, I think part of the problem with him, just the psychology of it, is this is a continual thing. Whether it's his contract, whether it's smoking dope, whether it's he's never there at the start.
I understand why he's doing it, but he's doing it the wrong way. Yeah. Come on. If you're looking for great money, your next contract, you got to leave this team with a great impression. And he's not doing it. He's doing the complete opposite. And it's just getting so frustrating.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And he's over 30 years old. And the life of a 30-year-old running back in the NFL is, I mean, unless he's going to reinvent the wheel, it really is not that good. And he's going to have a hard time getting another contract. Someone will sign him.
Le'Veon Bell is 26. He was born in 92.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard on the radio today he was 30. So
that's if you believe Wikipedia.
Yeah. No, I'm wrong then. So he does have youth behind him then. I was wrong. But
you're right, though. I mean, it's the 30 years old. I mean, that's that divine line when it comes to running backs.
Yeah. There's certain positions in football that there just is not. You know, there's no history for any of them playing that long. So I understand him wanting to get the money. Oh, maybe that's what they meant. He's got to get his money now, you know. But what this guy was saying, it was actually the Dibble's show. What's his name?
Rob Dibble.
Rob Dibble.
Man, his show's good. That guy's good on the radio.
Yeah, we've had him on, we've had him as a guest.
Really? Oh, man, I listen to him every day. He's good. He was talking from a player's perspective, and he said he's got to do it. He understands the fans' problem. He understands all that. Dibble was a player's rep, but he said he's doing it for the players by holding out. If he doesn't hold out, then the players are going to be mad at him, and he's paving the way for other players to make more money. So I don't agree with that.
That's why it's so unusual that his teammates are so mad at him for not showing up.
Exactly. So what players he's going to help are the young players coming out of college now.
Yep.
And
yep.
He blames the walkout that the NFL had years ago and the guys who crossed the picket line, that the NFL union's very weak and it forces these players to have to hold out. Because you don't see it in baseball or basketball.
Nope.
Because the union backs the players up.
Yeah. And Bell's also, except for the Kansas City game, has come up very, very small in the postseason.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.